Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. I'm going to take a little tangent from my normal Meyer material, and I tried to get us a guest this evening, but it just didn't work out. So I've been reading this really fascinating book. It's called The Clinton's War on Women. And what's in here is astonishing. Very informative and disturbing, to say the least. So I think I'm going to also play a few clips. There's an interesting documentary that was done on the Clintons that also kind of corresponds to this book. This book was written by Roger Stone and Robert Morrow. So anyway, let me try to set this clip up. And this is a story of two boys that, oh, I think they were around 15 or 16 years old. They were living in Neenah, Arkansas. I'm assuming this is the late 60s, maybe middle 70s, somewhere in that range. Bill Clinton was the governor of Arkansas at this time, and they were the CIA was running drugs into Arkansas, landing there at the Mena Airport, and then that was like the distribution point where the cocaine would be taken all over the country and maybe the world, as far as I know. But there were two young boys in Arkansas that saw one of these shipments, and so they had to be killed. And this is the story of how they were killed. So we'll start out with a clip here, if I can set this up, and then I'll read a little section in the book that talks about what happened. These boys were named, the names were Kevin Ives and Don Henry. So just bear with me one second here. Just a second. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time to spin up my Windows Media Player for whatever reason. So I'll read just a little bit from the book here, and then I'll probably have to switch over quite suddenly. The small town of Mena, Arkansas is about a four-hour drive from Dallas. The town of Alexander, 30 miles south of Arkansas State Capitol, Little Rock, where Governor Clinton resided, was founded as a construction camp for the railroad. Both towns had shady reputations. They were thought to be hubs of prolific illegal drug activity, and believe me, they were. And this, the reason I bring this up is because this is all related. Here we go. Let me switch to the clip. One second.
On the night 23rd, 1987, just outside the little town of Alexander, Arkansas, Kevin Ives, 17, and Don Henry, 16, witnessed a cocaine drop, which was part of the drug smuggling operation in Mena, Arkansas. The boys were captured and their hands were tied behind their backs. They were kicked and beaten and finally executed. One of the boys was stabbed to death. The bodies were wrapped in a tarpaulin and placed across the railway tracks to be mangled by the next train. The Arkansas medical examiner, Fammy Malik, ruled the deaths an accident. He said the boys had smoked marijuana joints and had fallen into a trance on the railway tracks side by side. As the facts would later show, the crime lab never tested the concentration of marijuana in their blood. They were told to back Malik's ruling. Bill Clinton was the only person to whom the crime lab answered. Kevin Ives' mother, Linda, created such a stir that a grand jury was called to investigate the case. The bodies were exhumed, and a second autopsy was conducted by the Atlanta medical examiner, Dr. Joseph Burton. He showed an enhanced photograph of the wound to six other forensic investigators. They all concurred that it was a stab wound. He also...
Okay, these boys were brutally murdered because they happened to see one of these drug shipments in Tamina, Arkansas. And after they were brutally murdered, they were taken out and put on the tracks and then killed. Well, they were already dead at this point. They were just, their bodies were destroyed by the train. And thanks, Gemini. I'm glad you guys can hear. Okay, this is the brakeman on the train. Well, let me start here. When we were approximately 100 feet away from the dark spot, the engineer of the train, Stephen Schroyer, yelled out, "Oh my God," recalled the brakeman, Danny Lamar. "We could tell there were two young men lying between the rails just north of the bridge, and we saw there was a gun beyond the boy who was just lying to the north. There was something covering these boys from their waist to just below their knees, and I'm not sure what the object was. They were both in between the rails, heads up against the west rail, and their feet were over the east rail. Both were right beside each other, and their arms and hands were to their sides, head facing straight up. I never noticed any movement at all. The horn was sounded, the brakes were locked, but despite the deafening sounds from the futile attempts to stop the train, the boys never moved as the locomotive rolled on over them." Anyway, that was the destruction of the bodies. When they finally did stop the train, they went and looked, and they noticed that there was blood, but not very much. Hardly any blood, in fact. And the blood that was there was a dark purplish color, and that was because of the lack of oxygen in the blood. And it was decided that the boys had been dead for some time. And the two boys were identified as a 17-year-old Kevin Ives and a 16-year-old Don Henry. The Arkansas medical examiner then made up a story that they had smoked over 20 marijuana joints and they were completely unconscious from the use of marijuana, which was something that was made up. A later investigation found that the boys had just smoked a couple joints. Now, here's another story related, and what I'm getting at here is the relationship of the Clintons to a whole series of murders that have occurred. Keith McCassell, the bar owner of the Wagon Wheel, which is a club near Mena in there, in nearby Pulaski County, was one of the unfortunate witnesses of some more wrongdoing. McClaskey had passed on a piece of information to Deputy Kathy Carty, the only Saline County deputy on the tracks the night the boys died, who strongly disagreed that the deaths were an accident. Keith told me what I might want to watch, that I might want to watch this fellow named Dan Harmon, that he was one of Saline County's largest suppliers, evidently. So this McCassell guy started to be intimidated and started getting threats from some of the hitmen of the Clintons. One day, while he was working at his bar on the night of the elections in 1988, he took two pennies out of his pocket and put them on the bar at the Wagon Wheel and said, "If Sheriff Steed loses this election, my life ain't worth 2 cents. And he was murdered that very night. Another person, a 26-year-old Greg Collins in 1989, who had been subpoenaed to testify before the grand jury after rumor was circulated that he had been with the boys the night they were murdered. So this was a fellow that had been with the two boys that were murdered that night. Suddenly, this fellow this man, Greg Collins, this 26-year-old man, was found dead, killed by a shotgun blast to the face. His murder remains unsolved. And the story goes on here. This book is very, very interesting. Now, they were trafficking drugs into this airport in Mena, Arkansas. Again, this book is called Clinton's War on Women by Roger Stone. And there was a fellow named Barry Seal, who was one of the pilots for the CIA, and he was flying these drugs into Mena, Arkansas. Now, listen to what this attorney general from Louisiana, Billy Gusty, said. He said, by his own admission, he, Barry Seal, had flown over 100 flights, each bringing in between 600 and 1,200 pounds of cocaine, between $3 billion and $5 billion of drugs into the United States. So just put this in context for a second. Bill Clinton was the governor of Arkansas at this time, and he knew darn well about these drugs being run in here. In fact, I believe it goes on to say in this book that the money was being laundered through the Rose Law Firm where Hillary worked. Hillary, as you know, is running for president. Let me continue here. In the 1980s, Seal moved his operations to Arkansas and struck up a personal friendship with Bill Clinton. So Bill Clinton became personal friends with this Barry Seal, who was the guy flying the drugs in to Mena, Arkansas. Seal ran many of the operations out of a covert CIA landing base in Mena, Arkansas. He was protected by his employers at the CIA, Governor Bill Clinton of Arkansas, and the Vice President, former CIA Director Bush. Now, one thing you have to keep in mind is the Bush and the Clintons, they're very close friends. You know, one's Democrat, one's Republican. Yeah, two sides of the same coin, you could say. They publicly, they act like they're, you know, fight like cats and dogs. But the reality of the situation is, it's kind of like the World Wrestling Federation. Behind the scenes, they're working for the same people. The globalists, the global elite, like the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, Carlos Slim in Mexico, who's another billionaire. These people, they want a one-world government. And what they're trying to do is weaken and beat down the United States, because the United States is the last bastion of freedom before they come in with what Billy Meyer calls the secret dark order, which takes away our rights of self-determination. They're creating a technocracy, a tyranny. Let me continue here. Seal ran many of the operations out of a covert CIA landing base in Mena, Arkansas. He was protected by his employers at the CIA, Governor Bill Clinton of Arkansas, and Vice President and former CIA Director Bush. Seal would direct plane loads of cocaine to Mena, which would then be distributed through the state and the U.S. The money from the drugs sold was supposed to go to procure guns for the Contras. And this was another big thing going on in South America, the Iran-Contra thing. And that involves Oliver North and the whole nine yards. But let me play a little bit of this next clip. And this is about Barry Seal and what ended up happening to him.
Can't sit in Baton Rouge and go to work from 9 to 5 on Monday through Friday and go to the LSU football games on Saturday night and church on Sunday morning and have an exciting life. That may be exciting to 99% of the population, but to me, it's not. And the exciting thing in life to me is to get into a life-threatening situation. Now, that's excitement.
This is Barry Seal, a highly publicized drug smuggler originally operating out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Since 1978, he carried out one of the largest drug smuggling operations between the United States and Central America. In the spring of 1982, Louisiana State Police warned Seal that they would tail him wherever he went in efforts to stop his operation. It's believed that Seal decided to move his operation out of that state after the warning. It was here at Rich Mountain Aviation that authorities believed Barry Seal moved his operation. Terry Capehart owned a business at the MENA airport, and he remembers when he first met Barry Seal in 1981.
Of course, I didn't know who Barry Seals was, never heard of the man. And Freddie introduced me to him.
Capehart didn't know of Seals' drug background then, but remembers that this man, Joe Evans, former partner of Freddie Hampton, brought in one of Seals' planes to Rich Mountain Aviation. Evans declined to comment for TV5 News, saying it's his policy to, quote, keep quiet, unquote. Capehart said he began to see more and more of Barry Seal, especially after the spring of 1982. He didn't suspect anything until the Polk County Sheriff called him in with some troubling information.
I came in possession of some information that indicated some aircraft being serviced and stored on the airport here was being used in an illegal international operation.
Capehart then began noticing some alterations to Barry Seal's aircraft that he says are common to drug smugglers.
That I've seen myself. Freddie and Dwayne Hill, which was an employee of Rich Mountain Aviation, changed the N number on one of the airplanes so that they were both identical, and then the aircraft made a flight. If they got caught or somebody was on them or turned the N number in, they can just take the tape, yank it off the airplane. The airplane's set, say, in Florida or Louisiana, wherever. DEA or an agency comes up and asks about it, they'll say, hey, this is not the N number. That airplane's sitting in Mena, Arkansas, inside the hangar.
A former employee of Rich Mountain Aviation also saw unusual modifications and was given far-fetched reasons for them.
Okay. That was a little clip on Barry Seal here. If you're wondering how Barry Seal ended up, Barry Seal was killed. He was gunned down, I believe, by the CIA, actually, who he was working for. So it's interesting that this book also says that the CIA had recruited Bill Clinton when he was at University of Arkansas in 1968. So that makes me think that they plan these presidencies, or probably they've been planning the presidents probably since the killing of Kennedy. Now, that's just my speculation. I have no direct evidence of that. The book here also talks about another one of Bill Clinton's friends, a guy named Dan Lassiter. Dan Lassiter was the guy that founded the Ponderosa Steakhouses. I don't know if you remember those, but they used to be really big all over the country. Dan Lester did two other things as well besides the Ponderosa Steakhouses. He did cocaine smuggling and money laundering. He became one of Bill Clinton's closest friends and biggest political contributors when Bill Clinton was the governor of Arkansas. Dan Lassiter and Bill Clinton used to attend drug parties together where there were cocaine women, where money laundering was taking place. Another associate of Clinton, Bill Clinton's brother, Roger Clinton, and let me read this section from the book. It says, as Victor Thorne points out in his book about the Clintons and drugs, Roger Clinton was completely out of control, constantly getting high on cocaine, boasting in an FBI transcript that he took cocaine 12 times per day, taking girls to have sex parties at the Arkansas Governor Mansion. You know, that's one reason why, you know, they talk about Hillary's emails. And the fact that she destroyed 30,000 emails even after they were subpoenaed, and she was sending around government secrets on an unsecure server. Well, there are many worse things that the Clinton family has been involved in. But in any case, this is just, I mean, it's, let me continue here. Roger Clinton was indicted in 1984 by a federal grand jury on 5 counts of drug trafficking. Roger served only a year in jail. In 2001, as Bill Clinton was leaving the presidency, he pardoned his half-brother as if it had never happened. I guess also Bill Clinton pardoned Dan Lassiter. I guess Dan Lassiter had went to jail over drugs as well. Anyway, just some information, some kind of side information, not exactly related to the Billy Meier case, which is usually what I talk about, but it just gives you an interesting picture. I mean, one thing that Billy has said recently is that we're heading towards the Henoch prophecies that talk about the two civil wars in the United States. And boy, I tell you what, I know this sounds really crazy from a guy that is so interested in the Meier material, but I'm really hoping that Billy's wrong, because I do not want to see our country go through two civil wars. But when you see what is happening now in the presidential race, where we have known criminals running for president, but the problem is the public is so uninformed, and I'm not as informed as I should be. That's why I read these books and do the show, to try to educate myself and maybe pass a little information on to others. Let me read a little bit of the Henoch prophecies here. It says, due to the fault of scientists, enormous power will be seized by the power hungry and their military. That would be the United States, I guess. They're warriors and terrorists. And power will be seized as well through laser weapons of many types, via atomic, chemical, and biological weapons, also genetic technology. Enormous misuse will occur because this will be unrestrainedly exploited for the purposes of war. Genetic technology, meaning that what's going to happen next is they're going to create these clones. I know that sounds insane, but I'll continue here. Exploited for the purpose of war, not lastly due to the cloning of human beings for warring purposes. So there, we're going to see clones used in warfare probably within our lifetime. Now, this was also practiced in ancient times with the descendants of Henoch in the regions of Cirrus. You know, it's so interesting because we don't understand that there have been very, very advanced civilizations in the ancient past that are far more advanced than us. I imagine when we do really learn this, it's going to be quite a shock to some people. But in any case, let's continue. However, this will not be all of the horrors, as besides the genetic technology and the use of chemical weapons, far worse and more dangerous, more deadly weapons of mass destruction will be produced and used. So one of the potential realities that we're facing are these coming incredible wars where cloning will be used. We'll see soldiers that are cloned. And later it will talk about these soldiers who have no compassion, no empathy, no moral reasoning. They'll just be killing machines. Then we'll see the use of atomic weapons, chemical weapons, biological weapons, unless we can turn this around. And I don't think it's hopeless. It looks bad sometimes, but I don't think it's hopeless. Okay, let me continue here. Assisted by the scientists and obedient military forces serving them, who together hold a deadly scepter and will create clone-like beings which will be bred in a total lack of conscience and will be scientifically manipulated to become killer machines, division by division and devoid of any feelings. So these warriors that will be created, and this is Contact Report 215, these clone warriors will be scientifically manipulated to be killer machines. There'll be divisions of these soldiers. They will be devoid of any feelings. They will destroy, murder, and annihilate everything. The USA will set out against the Eastern countries ahead of all financial states, and simultaneously, she will have to defend herself against the Eastern intruders. That makes me think that we'll be warring with China. In all, America will play the most decisive role. And it goes on to say that, you know, we're going to invade many countries, which of course we've done, under the guise of fighting terrorism, which of course we've done. And it talks about, under so-called peaceful globalism, American politics will aspire to gain control of the world. And if you listen to the people that talk about this sort of thing, which I do, they talk about globalism. And they talk about something called the Hegelian dialectic. And in the Hegelian dialectic, the powers that be create a problem so that they can bring in their solution. That's the Hegelian dialectic, order out of chaos. And what they're doing right now with the United States is they're trying to create this race war. Now you notice everything's about race and everything. And then the other thing they're doing is they're, as it says, they're taking away our rights of self-determination. And that's why there's so much emphasis on political correctness. I don't know if you've paid any attention to that or not, but you know, you can't say anything today because you're bound to offend someone. Well, this is not by just chance. This is because in the third millennium, these leaders, they want to remove our self-determination. And we're seeing that through gun control, loss of freedom of speech, as I was just saying. We're seeing mandatory vaccinations, and we're also seeing mind control. And I know that probably sounds crazy to some people, but I think some folks are really very vulnerable to this. There is another researcher named Alan Watt who talks about Zbigniew Brzezinski, National Security Advisor for President Carter. The President Carter again stated that shortly the public will be unable to think and reason for themselves. Eventually, he said that the public would expect the media to do all their thinking and reasoning for them. And I tell you what, this has happened today. You know, and it's interesting because the Meyer material says that independent thinking is what is completely required for the evolution of your consciousness. And this is in the very one of the beginning pages. I think it's, I forget which page it is, but it's in the Mind of Thoughts book. It says, however, an evolution of the consciousness can only come about through independent thinking of each human being. And we don't have that anymore on our planet. It's becoming less and less common. But thinking is more and more stunted on our planet because we live in a consumer society in which everything is pre-chewed to an excessive degree by television, radio, newspapers, magazines, and books, for which reason the human being no longer needs to think for himself at all. And the one thing we need to be doing is thinking for ourselves. And without thinking for ourselves, we have no evolution. Ask It talked about this. and ask its explanations, part five. She says, the human is still not capable of coping with and fully understanding the truth, and he is not yet mature enough to know his future and approach it correctly. For that reason, the truth must be rewritten prophetically as in equations in order to make him think independently, where he slowly finds and recognizes the truth for himself. So that's why we have prophecies in the Meyer material. So it wakes us up so that we can start to think independently. And that's, you know, I always wondered, you know, why do we have all these prophecies in the Meyer material? And we do. Well, it's to help our independent thinking. Evidently, without these prophecies to wake us up, we won't be able to think independently. If the Third World War actually happens, and Billy says, calculation and observations appear to indicate it to be probable, and also during the next few decades it could happen. And what will happen is the civilian population will have to bear the brunt of the enormous suffering in tremendous numbers. Again, there will be cloning, which will create human machines for military purposes, devoid of conscious and feelings. And we also, in the future, will create computer-like weapons. And these human combat machines, the military clones, will gain their independence. These clones will become independent, and they will, through their own management, they will bring death, devastation, destruction into the human beings of the planet. And the earth will become an arena of unparalleled suffering. So, again, I hope that this doesn't happen. And I really hope Billy's wrong. But as you see the historical trends unfold, I certainly understand why he wrote this. It talks about In Contact 215, the destruction of the World Trade Center by terrorists. It talks about the earth being maltreated by the deepest depths. It talks about hurricanes sweeping over the U.S. According to the prophecies of Henoch, the truth about industrialized countries is that they only appear to be civilizations. They're not actually civilizations, but they only appear to be civilizations. In fact, they are not, because more and more at the end of the 20th century, at the beginning of the third millennium, they will disregard all true love, true freedom, true wisdom, as well as true peace, along with all the values of humaneness. You know, when Billy was a very small boy, his first contact person always talked to him about the third millennium, which is the time that we're coming into. And, you know, Edward Albert Meyer, Billy Meyer, is called the prophet of the new time. And when we are in the new time is the third millennium. And it's a time when maliciousness and confusion spreads over the world. Now, I did just get a caller. I don't know if they just wanted to listen. Caller, are you just listening? They must be just listening. Oh, they dropped right off. Scared them to death. In any case, I thought it might have been someone that wanted to chat. In any case, there will be all kinds of terrible happenings that occur. The North American continent, now this is a truly scary prophecy. It says here that the North American continent will be stricken by the most terrible catastrophe which has ever been recorded. evil military powers will wreak havoc with computerized the nuclear, biological, chemical weapons, whereby it will also happen that computerized weapons become independent and cannot be controlled any longer by human beings. So this is the greatest disaster. Again, this is a prophecy, meaning that it doesn't have to happen. We still have a chance to stop this. Contact 215 is fascinating. It talks about Russia, that Russia will attack Scandinavia. And there will be a terrible tornado which sweeps across Europe soon. And the Russian attack will occur in the summer, starting at Arkhangelsk, Denmark. And Russia will be not satisfied with this action of war. Her expansion will be ravenous. And Russia will launch military attack against Iran and Turkey. And already Russia has had problems with Turkey. So the destruction of war will descend on the northern countries as strong military forces will invade from the east and will pillage and murder as well as use bombs and missiles. Switzerland will be severely affected, but will not be the actual target. This will be France and Spain. France will not only be invaded by aggressors from the outside, but will also be conquered from within. And what we've seen is the movement of the Islamic invaders into France now, into Europe. These prophecies are coming true. But will also be conquered from within. Okay, this can be envisioned as being the many foreigners of the different religion living in France at the time, specifically Islam, which will be the force working from within. Once France has fallen, and the Meyer material says France will fall, a war to conquer Spain and England will also take place. Wow, that's about all I can handle in a day. I don't know that I want to know the future. Let's hope Billy's wrong. The problem is he's not wrong very often. Edward Albert Meyer is a farmer from Switzerland. He lives in a tiny mountain village called Hinterschmidruti, in a beautiful green forested area. He's written over 40 books. He's written over 1,000 contact notes now. And one of the things that he talks about is the oneness of the universe. And this is a topic that I'm still trying to wrap my mind around, still trying to understand. And he has this incredible article about the oneness of the universe, that the whole universe is a oneness which flows through all things, all existence, and all life. In this oneness, the human being who has distinct needs is also integrated. So one thing that we have is something called the power within. And we're urged to open ourselves to the wellspring of the oneness of the universe. And this power within that we have, we should embrace it and learn to use it for ourselves. Now, the power within is a phrase that is used in other Meyer writings. For example, here's a phrase that comes from a book that Billy calls Meditation from Clear Visibility. And the phrase is, the creational natural power is within myself. And I use this, putting it into effect in my thinking and my acting. The whole universe is said to be a oneness. You know, one of the great prophets of the past that the Meyer material talks about is a man named Emmanuel. And Emmanuel said, the body and the spirit are one. They are not a duality. That the body comes from the spirit, but it's a different matter, a different form. So everything that exists in the material comes from the spiritual. You have something inside your body called your spirit form. And your spirit form came into your body when you were 21 days old, when you were in your mother's womb. And that spirit form brought with it something called the consciousness. The Meyer material calls it the consciousness block. And this is the material consciousness, your new personality, your new conscious, subconscious, unconscious mind. Each reincarnation, we get a new material consciousness, but we retain our spiritual consciousness from the last life. You always have the same spirit form. The spirit form goes out through your whole body like a lattice structure of energy. So when this spirit form enters into the body of the child, it enters first into the middle brain, and then its energy spreads out through the whole body. If later you would have your arm cut off or whatever, the spirit form will retreat instantly. But your spirit form can never be harmed. It is invulnerable to anything within the material universe. Your spirit form is said to be a fragment of the universal consciousness. The universal consciousness is the source of the oneness of the universe. So that's why they can say we are all one, because the real you is your spiritual consciousness. The real you is a fragment of the universal oneness, the universal consciousness, the creation. Now, the creation is said to be a Wesenheiten in the German. The Wesenheiten is a very unique kind of living thing in that it does not use its free will to determine its evolution like we do. The creation is somewhat automatic and robotic in terms of its evolution. It never, ever, ever stops working to evolve. It never stops creating matter. Until it reaches the apex or the end of its expansion period, it expands for 155.5 trillion years, and then it starts its contraction phase, and then it goes dormant, and that's over 300 trillion years of time. That's one step in the evolution of this universe that we have, that we're a part of, that our spirit form is a fragment of. So your spirit form is a tremendous source of power and energy. And that's why we were talking about embrace the power within you. Now, your spiritual consciousness has something in it called the Gemüt. The Gemüt controls the thoughts and the feelings of the spiritual consciousness. The Gemüt is a German term. The Gemüt is part of your spiritual consciousness. It's the counterpart to the psyche. The psyche controls the thoughts and the feelings of the material consciousness. Your Gemüt has the ability to use something called the Empfinden block. The Empfinden block receives what are called swinging waves. These swinging waves are of a purely spiritual nature, and they're of a neutral, positive, equalized form. The imp finds and receives the swinging waves, which are part of the electromagnetic realm of life. And at some point, we'll be able to harness these swinging waves. They have a tremendous power. And the extraterrestrial humans that are out in the universe today that are higher evolutionary levels than us have the power to harness the swinging wave, and they can do the telepathy and the telekinesis and the levitation. And the people called the sensitivat are those human beings capable of this fine spiritual perception. What happens is, if you spend enough time in observation, you will develop the ability to sense the radiating love of creation. And you will be able to receive these swinging waves. Now, the swinging wave is related to what they call the fine fluidal energies. And Michael Udebrock is the best expert, and he's from Figu, Canada, and he knows more about the fluidal energies than anyone I've come across. Of course, he learned it from Billy, but let me read something from Figu Bulletin 13 that talks about these fine fluidal energies. It says, the vibrations, the energies, and their powers consist of a tiny fine material, respectively, fluidal units of information, which individually and collectively constitute a oneness. There's the term, the oneness again, which, like the electrical current, flows through wires in an invisible form through the brain and through the body, finally to leave our body and reach into our environment. And you know, your walls have fine fluidal energy from your consciousness. The trees in your yard have the fine fluidal energy from your consciousness. Well, these fine fluidal energies are picked up by sensitive humans, by other human beings who have at their disposal the ability of this fine material perception. So that is one of the things that I've been studying lately and trying to wrap my mind around a little bit. And you just have to do it in tiny little steps, because there's so much to it and there's so much to wrap your mind around. I want to pick up again in Billy's article here about the oneness of the universe. It says, the creational nature brings you and your life blessings when you recognize that you are one of its creations and that you are determined as such to further carry the creational natural within you by you using the source of the oneness of the universe. That comes from your spiritual consciousness. We all have a spiritual consciousness. Your spiritual consciousness will never die. When your physical body dies, your spirit form and your consciousness will come out of your body and will go into the spiritual realm, which exists in the same physical location as our planet, but in a different dimension. Your spirit form will take your consciousness block and will evaluate and process your consciousness. And from your consciousness, it will create the essences of essence like love and wisdom and discernment and logic. And all of these essences, these neutral, positive, spiritual essences will be stored in your spirit form, will strengthen your spirit form, and help your evolution for the next lifetime. Your personality goes into what's called the universal storage banks, and your memories go into the new subconscious, because your spirit form will create a new conscious, subconscious, unconscious, and a personality while you're in the spirit realm. And a lot goes on in the spirit realm between physical lifetimes. And we're supposed to spend between like a lifetime and a half in the spirit realm. But because of overpopulation, people are spending less and less time in the spirit realm. I have a caller here. I just want to make sure they're listening and didn't want to say something. 206, did you have a question or want to discuss something?
Oh, I'm a first-time listener, so I just love to listen this time.
Okay. Okay, excellent. That's fine. I'm sorry to bother people that are just listening, but I never know. In any case, you have a spiritual consciousness. The spirit form is within you. It's headquartered in your middle brain, an area called the superior colliculus. The power of your spirit form goes throughout your whole body, and it's the real you. It's what is evolving through all these different lifetimes. So we have something called the oneness of the universe, and Billy is saying to be refreshed by the concept of the oneness of the universe. And it says here, let me continue, letting it bubble, you are hereto refreshed and thus radiate the one energy and power usefully and creatively in your life and in your surroundings. The creativity is the gift of the creational nature to you. And if you are creative, you are in turn giving everything in this respect to the fellow human being, to everything existence, to all forms of life, and all together to the entire universe. You see, wisdom is a kind of knowledge that produces energy. And when you gain wisdom, you help the whole universe to evolve. By just sharing your thought forms. You see, the purpose of our life is the evolution of our consciousness. And the globalists are attacking that straight away and trying to dumb down our children. They are also dumbing us down through the media. And we are becoming more and more indifferent to one another, more mistrustful to one another, which is exactly the opposite of the oneness of the universe. These globalists are attacking the very core of the purpose for our life. And increasingly, we're becoming emotionless, disinterested. Have you noticed people being like zombies? People will be indolent and obtuse, and I repeat that all the time. Indolent meaning they don't, you know, they're just lazy. They don't care. And obtuse, they're losing the ability to think. They will be, and this will affect their interpersonal relationships. And that's why human connections are being destroyed. Families are being ruined for this. Okay? So, and our time is said to be this third millennium, is a time of confusion and maliciousness, which is spreading through the whole world. So it's the spiritual teachings which will eventually stop this confusion and this maliciousness. And in the Figu material, love is discussed. And the kind of love that the Meyer information talks about is not mushy, it's not romantic, it's not grasping, it's not humanitarian. It's referring to a much more all-encompassing kind of love. It's effective love. It's not affective love. It's not the romantic style of love. The romantic style of love by the Meyer material is called false love, and it's very transient. It goes to great heights and plummets to great depths. It can lead to despair. Effective love, on the other hand, is the love that's based on our innermost being and is in no way transient. It can never go away. The effective love is the love of the creation, the universal consciousness, and that we can also sense and perceive this love. You see, the creation radiates love so that every moment and every day we can sense the radiating love of creation, but you'll have to open yourself up to it. And I urge you to take some time to be outside to see the radiating love of creation. The radiating love of creation exists because no life is able to exist without love and without the light of truth. The everlasting warmth that comes from the center of the universal consciousness is love. Love is the highest principle in all creation. And through that love, everything exists in absolute logic. Every tiny plant and every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love. The love of creation is everywhere. Because without that love, nothing would be able to exist. So we have to remember that we carry that love within ourselves and that we exist only because of the love of creation. Now, this is kind of different because, you see, creation is not like a heavenly father. My material says it's evolving. It also, again, as I talked earlier, it really doesn't have a personality like we think of a personality. It functions almost automatically in some aspects. We as human beings are what the German calls the Wesen. We're an independently existing life form. We have our own individuality and personality. We have an instinct-based consciousness. So The Wesenheiten, which is the universal consciousness, is different than that. It functions kind of automatically. It doesn't have a personality, although it radiates love. You see, it expresses its love through the wonder of its creation. And that's why, one of the reasons why we have to get our self around understanding the importance of keeping our populations under control and also not destroying our forests. Unfortunately, our forests are being burned, and it's just incredible. The Rim Fire in Northern California burned 402 square miles in 2013. The Pony Complex Fire in Idaho burned 149,000 acres. The Funny River Fire in Alaska burned almost 194,000 acres. The Carlton Complex fire burned about 390 square miles. That was in, I think, 2014. We had the largest fire in our history in Canada, but wasn't much talked about. That was May 3rd to July 5th of 2016. 1.5 million acres destroyed. So the creation, you know, what's most important is being destroyed. Where deforestation is happening through all of these fires. And it's happening. People are destroying the forests. Now, the forests have to exist for us to have the moderation of the weather. And that's why we're having this incredible nature. Anyway, folks, I'll be back Saturday and Sunday. We'll talk more then. Have a great evening. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitan.